Well, how did David get in this fix? Remember, there are some great days, and usually cave times are following great victories. And I want to just, in your mind, have you look with David and see the cycle that he went through. David would go through times of exhilarating victory, and then he'd go through times of great, great discouragement and defeat. And usually the times of great victory were followed by times of great defeat. And there was a cycle in his life. And David, who toppled Goliath, then went through the discouragement of Saul sending messengers to kill him. And David, who escaped that assassination and worked his way out, went through the fear of being captured by the Philistines. And David, who escaped from the Philistines, went through the fear of being hunted by 3,000 troops who found him and circled him and were ready to get him. David went through periods of cave times following his great victories. And so, in this passage, David is running for his life from his father-in-law. He had just sent his family off to a far-off land to be safe out of the country. And he's there with 400, it says in 1 Samuel 22, 400 malcontents. How did he do? Well, let's start in verse 3. Because the first thing that David went through in this psalm is he went through a time of great distress. Starting in verse 3, I want to share with you that David had these associated symptoms, I call them, of depression. That's what always happens when we're in cave times. Look at verse 3. First of all, David felt overwhelmed in his spirit. It says in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Now, what does it mean to be overwhelmed in your spirit? Well, sometimes in our world, we say the roof is caving in. Or others say, everything's going wrong at once. Or I hear some people say, it always happens to me. Or how about the classic, not now, you know, when something happens we didn't want. Or when the doctor or someone calls us and says, I have some bad news. And immediately we just go, oh, my spirit's overwhelmed. That's the first symptom that these dark cave times are coming. Secondly, look at the next part of verse 3. Then you knew my path. In the way which I walked, they have secretly set a snare for me. Number 2, David thought his adversaries had hidden a trap for him. And you know how that translates into our world. We say this, well, everybody's after me. Or I've been railroaded. They framed me. You know, everybody in the office is against me. Oh, they had it in for me. And we just, secondly, the second danger sign or symptom of this depression time coming is we think that people are out to get us. And David said, they've hidden a trap for me. Look at verse 4. A third symptom of this cold wave coming over him was, in verse 4, he said, there is no one who regards or acknowledges me. You know, I hear this all the time. I can tell people are headed for the dumps. You know, down in the dumps, they say, no one has called me. Have you ever heard that? I mean, they're talking to you on the phone. No one has called me. Why don't they talk to you? Yeah, I mean, oh, I feel sorry for myself. Or they say, oh, I'm a nobody. People ignore me. Or poor me. You know, everybody else has stuff and I don't. Or this is a classic one. I'm all alone. You know, whenever I hear that, I said that a month ago, but you might have forgotten. So like Peter, I'll repeat myself. Peter repeated himself constantly. He called it stirring you up by way of remembrance. Did you know what God says? He says, I will dwell with you. So whenever I meet someone that tells me I'm all alone, I tell them, I have a wonderful, wonderful news for you. If you get saved, you'll never be alone again because God will move in with you. But one of the symptoms of depression is we fear that no one regards us and nobody's calling us and nobody cares about us and we're all alone. Look at the next part of verse 4. The next thing he says in verse 4 is, and there is no escape for me. Or refuge has failed me. He said, there's no place to go, is what he's saying. And I've heard people, they're stuck in their career, and they say, I'm on a one-way trip to nowhere. Or they get involved in an interview, and the first thing the interviewer says is, you're too old for this position. You can't even apply. Or else, they'll say, I'm sorry, but the qualifications for this position, blah, 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 blah. And you obviously know that there's no escape. There's no place for you to go. But then look at the end of verse 4. Here's the last symptom that David felt. Verse 3, he was overwhelmed. Verse 3, he thought people were trying to trap him. Verse 4, he says, nobody cares about me. Verse 4, he says, there's nowhere out for me. And finally, at the end of verse 4, he sums it up and he says this, no one cares for my soul. He says, nobody cares about me. And you know what he was denying? The person that cares more than anyone else. The person that followed him all the days of his life. The one who gave his life for him. The one who knows his down-sitting, his uprising, his words before he speaks them, his thoughts afar off. The one who truly cares for him. The one who, as a little boy, he had said was his shepherd, who would only lead him into green pastures and who would only restore his soul. And the essence of depression is a denial of the one who wants to comfort us. And that's why it's so dangerous to give in to the flesh. Have you ever let these deadening thoughts cross your mind? The thoughts of adversaries after you and being overwhelmed and nobody cares about you and no escape. Those thoughts will bring gloom as fast as a storm front on a fast-moving thunderstorm in the summer. But hold on. Look at...